back.
Can I get some music?
Is this thing on?
Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
U-C-R.
One?
U-C-R.
Oh, dear.
Go.
We're saying what we want. Give it to you, non-stop. Any place, any time. Not afraid to speak our mind. That's just how we roll. We never gonna tell. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Oh, right. Hello, global America. Well, no. Hello, the continental of America, and hello to the rest of the folks that are listening
the
all across the world. Yeah, continental. Thank you. This here is Uncensored Radio, and I'm one of your hostesses here tonight. My name is Jeffrey Emmett. Alongside of me tonight, I've got the fabulous, the one and the only, Katrina A. Johnson from Nickelodeon. All that. How you doing, Katrina?
Well, hello. I am fabuloso. Just getting out of my second workout for the day, feeling sick.
I saw that you checked in on Facebook. And alongside of us as well, of course, we've got the one and the only Jim Bob Lips. How you doing, Jim Bob?
Well, you know, I'm doing all right. Thank you so much for asking.
And then, of course, shortly, Miss Karen Ashley, the one and only Aisha Campbell from the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger movie, will be with us shortly. So I've got to tell you, kids, right before the show, I went to this little, like, party, and it was a rap party. Now, not a rap, like, we weren't putting out some rhymes, because, you know, mom
like
can't sing.
Is it a rap, like, when you're finishing a TV show and you have the rap party?
No,
like
not quite.
Like your end of the season party? No.
No.
Okay.
It was this rap that you put on your body. And it's all natural, and they have a whole bunch of products. Yeah, it was like kind of one of those, like a Tupperware party, but like a wrap party.
I like it.
And, yeah, and it's, you put this wrap on, and it, like, firms and, like, eats the fat cells or something. I don't know. I don't really pay attention to how I do.
Ooh, makes you skinny. I like it.
Right.
I
but needless
it.
To say, what I do know is that my two cousins are kind of, like, the second cousins are doing it. And then my girlfriend that, like, invited me to the party is doing it. She's done three wraps, and she's lost 5 inches around her waist.
Oh, we need to do that for sure.
Right. These work on your breasts. You can actually do them on. Like, people were doing it. They had, like, before and after photos of all these people, and it was like, crazy. And then my one cousin.
Smaller.
Well, no, but I know some of my friends would like it, so maybe I'm going to do a party. But, so
yeah.
The one cousin of mine, you know, she had babies, so she had, like, the flabby stomach kind of a thing. Like, she's really small. You know, she's, like, probably 100 pounds soaking wet. But she had, like, the flab, you know, from, like, the baby weight. You know, if you've ever seen a girl,
more reason,
like, you know.
I'm not a breeder. Thank you.
Right. So she did the wrap, and then she had, you know, the photo before the wrap, and then after the 45 minutes of having the wrap on, and then 12 hours, and then 72 hours, and the flab was gone. Like, her stomach was, like, flat.
I need to do it. I'm going to invest, and I think that would be the perfect thing to do at, like, a bachelorette party. That's awesome.
Right. Right. So I was like, oh, my God. So, you know, next week is our two-year anniversary week. We have some past co-hosts coming back. Monday night is Christina Marie will be joining us as a guest co-host. And then Tuesday or Wednesday, Madison will be back. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, both days, we actually have Allie coming back. She was on the show when Karen first started. Some of you may remember that have been around long enough. I'm so excited. Allie's going to come back and join us. And her and I are both going to do these raps live on air on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we're going to do the results and have the girls call in and tell us all about them, where you can get them, how you can check it out. And we're going to do before and after photos, and we're going to post them on the Facebook pages so you can see that it really works or if it doesn't. Either way, proof will be in the pudding, right?
I need to try it with you. That's so awesome.
I know. So we're kind of going to do a little rap party on air and see what happens. Like, we're going to, yeah, we're going to do it live. It's going to be a hoot.
And then you got to do the follow-up the next day and count the inches.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, you measure yourself. We'll put it on right before the show starts. So that when we're still on air, we can take them off because you're supposed to be able to measure yourself right after the 45 minutes, and you should see a difference. So we're going to actually be able to measure ourselves while we're on air, and then the next day, because there is, if you don't drink enough water or whatever, you can get like I don't remember what it's called, but basically
like
you blow. Yeah, you blow basically. So there is a possibility if you're not drinking enough water, if you had caffeine. because you're not supposed to drink caffeine a day or drink alcohol, that's a problem, but only for the day. So we're going to give it a whirl. And, so we'll have the first night results immediately, and then we will have the distant, the 24 hours or whatever results.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of excited.
Especially because go ahead.
No, none. We're just doing a live on air.
I love it. I was going to say my hero, the best gold digger of them all, Kim Zolciak from Real Housewives of Atlanta, does raps all the time because she refuses to work out, and I think she looks good. So I'm down to try it.
Well, it was crazy. Like, the pictures that I saw, it was actually a person standing in front of me, so I knew it was true. And then, the girlfriend that I had that invited us to the party, she lost 5 inches.
That's
5 inches. Yeah, and it's all their products are all natural. I mean, I'm not trying to sell it, but, So if any of our listeners out there want to try it, when they come on next week, we'll give you their websites where you can go order your wraps. I don't know if they'll travel, but maybe they'll do a little party, or you could do a cyber party or something. And, we'll give it a whirl.
It sounds like you could get real skinny and then have your privates have a party, because you will feel like walking around naked.
Right. Well, that's my thing. Like, I was like, well, let's see how this really works on the big girls. Like, let's really test it, So I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
They're like, you want to rap now? I'm like, no, I'm going to wait so we can do it on air and see how it really works. Because I'm like, if I could lose 5 inches around my waist, I will be a happy person. But they do say, you could keep rapping and you'll lose it. But, eventually you have to start eating right. And, you got to follow through. You can't keep eating all these desserts. You can't keep eating shit because you're just going to keep gaining it back and lose, it's just not going to work. But they did have it kind of reminded me, remember that pill that came out, it was probably 10 years ago now, that you would take it before you eat fatty shit and it would get rid of the fat. Something like that. Well, they have there's a couple different things you can take. That and they put it in a glass of water with olive oil, and it grabbed all of the oil and dropped it down to the bottom.
Okay, that's weird, but okay, I'll try it.
Yeah, I was
just give you some Alka-Seltzer, give you some fizzy water and sell it to you and tell you it's expensive, fancy stuff.
No, and it really was not that expensive. So you could get, if you have a party, you pay $25 for a wrap. And then if you, become whatever, you can get 4 wraps. I think it's $49 or something. So, and you could do that. You could do a wrap every 72 hours, I believe. So we're going to give this a whirl live on air, case, and see how it works. Let's see. It shall be interesting.
We should have a rap party and a Botox party simultaneously. Let's just get beautiful. Let's get skinny and frozen. Bam.
I know that's right. I think it's going to be a hoot. I can't wait. Because you know me. Because if it does not work, I'm going to tell you. And I'll be mad as hell. And I'll be cussing out my relatives.
And you'll be asking for a refund. But since it worked on this, I would just have to blame it on your alcohol and caffeine consumption now that you've given me
the
claim.
Well, they did said, results vary. There was a girl, she after her first wrap did lose 7 inches. They're but there's other people that have only lost 3. Yeah, there's one, people have only lost 3 inches. So I don't know if it depends on your body size or whatever, but before you do it, you're supposed to, exfoliate. If you use Dove soap, it, clogs your pores. So you're not supposed to use that, supposed to exfoliate, and you can't take a shower for if you're doing it, if I was going to do it tonight on air, I couldn't take my shower until the morning.
Well, that makes sense, though, it's got to be on your skin and absorb. I get it.
Yeah, the gels come on the wrap, and then, when you take the wrap off after 45 minutes, you take whatever, they're like, it's not sticky or whatnot, I don't know, I haven't tried it yet, but then you just rub it all in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see. And I said, the wrap was kind of small looking. I said, well, does it come in plus size? Because I said, how am I going to put it on my stomach and it's not going to reach my love handles in the back? They're like, it doesn't matter. I was like, all right, we're going to see here. We're going to see.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. I want to try it. And I want to see pictures of you wrapped up like a mummy.
Yeah. Well, they were like, I'm not taking my shirt off. for anybody. So that's why it's like, I'm going to take it to go. And she's like, well, we love before and after photos. I'm like, I'll totally do before and after photos, but I'm wearing a T-shirt. It's not going down any other way.
You should. How about a wife beater? So you can show off your pictorial.
Absolutely not. I don't know. But I was like, can I put them on my man boobs?
Can you show it before and after? Before when you need a training bra and after when you don't?
Yeah, well, I think I'd have to actually put it on my breakfasts. So we're going to, we'll see. I can't wait to try it on air and, like, let everybody know if it works.
Well, I think it's going to be fabulous. Too bad you can't have cocktails with it, because that means that it's not party worthy. But other than that, it sounds perfect.
But I was like, you know, if I could lose, like, 5 inches around my waist, I would
Hell
be ecstatic.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know,
I'd be happy
just,
with two inches.
Yeah,
I'd be
well,
happy.
That's all you really need. So it's going to be very interesting to see. We're going to do it live, so make sure you're tuning in next week, kids. But not only are we doing that next week, and as I was mentioning a little earlier, Christina Marie will be back Monday. Allie will be with us Tuesday and Wednesday. Madison will be with us one of the days. But I hope everybody's sitting down, because Thursday...
Thank you, Jimbo, Jim Bob.
Well, maybe I feel like we should wait until maybe Karen's here to kind of tell it.
I don't think we have
a drum roll.
I think we should let it roll.
All right. So next Thursday, a week from. What?
I'm. You gotta wait till we for sure got our sounds on deck. James, are you ready?
We
there's a drum,
a drum
roll.
Or drum.
There's a drum somewhere in there.
I need it.
I'm looking.
This is big stuff. I need the buildup. You can't just let them have it.
Okay, that's close enough.
That's the only one we got.
That'll whatever, close enough, I guess.
We have trumpet.
So,
we have trumpet.
We have what?
I can play trumpet. We have trumpet.
Okay,
trumpet?
Play trumpet.
Okay, go for it.
Next Thursday. Oh, it's really, really low. Gotta love a live show. Next Thursday, it is the return of Lord Voldemort. Mr. Mike J will be back co-hosting for a night.
We will address some issues. We will let the accusations slide. It will be addressed. It will be crazy. There may be some verbal jousting, you know?
I think it's going to be a very, very interesting show, because those of you that haven't listened,
crazy. Mm-hmm.
Mike J, you can go back to last August. let's see, probably the week of, like, the 15th, somewhere in there, those couple days.
We had a grandiose, large confrontation and divorce.
Yeah, so you can go back and listen on demand to those episodes around the 15th or whatever that Monday is of the week of, like, the 16th, 15th, 17th, whatever. We actually address it and what happened and tell the story, so go back and listen on demand from our website. You can catch it on blogtalk.com/uncensored radio or unscripted radio, and you can find out what happened, and he's going to be returning next Thursday. So it should be a very, very interesting
This is monumental, because he has not been back since the divorce. This will be his first encore performance with us. So this is
right.
Our
and
first
obviously,
chance.
I've spoken to him, but you and Karen have not.
I haven't. And my
James
hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I talked to him, I was mad.
Yeah, it didn't end so well. So I think it's going to be a very interesting show. So make sure you're tuning in next Thursday. Make sure you're tuning on next week, because we're going to have surprises. We're going to have surprise call-ins. You never know who's going to pop by, say hello, say happy anniversary. So make sure you're tuning in all next week, because you never know. Your favorite person may be calling in to say hi.
Yeah, and I'm going to have nightmares for weeks after so many of those dad-blasted doorbell sounds.
I know.
It's going to be
a little
crazy. Well, I'm excited. It's definitely going to be awesome next week.
Yeah, so it's kind of a week of past co-hosts coming back and celebrating with us. So it shall be Interesting.
We're being haunted from the voice of Uncensored Cat.
What?
As long as you keep me posted on what's going on, I could care less what happens next week.
Why could you care less? I don't understand.
I said, as long as y'all keep me posted on what's going on, yeah, on who's calling in, so I know what's going on.
Oh, you're saying that do whatever we want as long as we tell them what we're doing. Well, that's the beauty of it, Jim Bob. We don't always know who's going to show up. We get pop-ups all the time, and that's why I'm haunted by the doorbell. And you will be haunted as well, I'm sure.
That's right. And tonight, if you want to join in on the conversation, or if you have anything to say about tonight's topics or the show or, you know, about co-hosts coming back, you can call in at 323-417-6705. Again, 323-417-6705. Make sure you press 1 to speak to the host. It shall be a hoot nanny.
That's
like, if y'all
right.
thought we made TMZ and Perez Hilton the other week, girl, just wait.
Just wait till the accusations fly. Just wait till the verbal assault that I'm about to launch. I mean, it's going to be entertaining.
It shall be an experience, faux show, faux show.
Should I be sober or should I not?
Sober.
Should I be honest or sober?
Sober.
All right.
Yeah, so it's going to be a spectacle. So make sure you're tuning in next week for all that and more. So, kids, what do we got on the agenda this evening?
Well, I kind of wanted to talk about things that are sexy and aphrodisiac and turn-on, because as I started to tell you yesterday, I encountered an old boss of mine, and when he told me the power play that he pulled, I thought it was hot. When he told me that he suspended a guy or he cut him off the schedule from 5 days to 1 day just from looking at me sideways or looking at me in a way that the boss didn't like how he looked at me, he cut down his work from 5 days to one. I love it. I thought it was hot. I thought it was a gross abuse of power. And I realized that power, I think, is a big-time aphrodisiac that works for me. So I thought maybe we could talk about different aphrodisiacs and turn-ons and what works for everybody. And, you know, the big universals for are the smell, taste, what men like, what women like, what we like.
Well, I agree. I like power, too.
Yeah, you're the one who wanted Barack Obama in your celebrity video, so we know power gets to you, Miss Fang. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Karen Ashley's in the building.
Hello, everybody. Hello. I know, yeah, no, power is a turn-on. I think it's just a man who's confident and a man mm-hmm. who's in control of their own life. That's powerful
yep.
to me. You know?
Yep. You know, it's interesting because as I was researching this topic, you know, I found a list of all of the universal aphrodisiacs and turn-ons for men, and they're completely opposite than they are for women. Because,
of course,
the men's aphrodisiacs and turn-ons are all pretty much physical attributes and basically result in, they're all just sex-based. You know,
let's see if this is true, because we'll see how much of a man Jeffrey is. Jeffrey, you tell us if it's true or if it's not.
Oh, we're going to say true or false? I love it.
No, it's probably not true or false, but I know you. Like, sometimes I go, oh, Jeffrey's all man, but then sometimes I go, no, Jeffrey's one of the girls. So it's a good way for us to gauge you. It's a real good way for us to see how much of a man you are, if you believe in this stuff.
Well, when it comes to cars, I'm definitely a man. But we'll find out. I'm kind of curious to see here.
Yeah, let's go over the man list.
Okay, the man list. It says the top 10 turn-ons for men that are instant is if she has an accent.
Accent? Do they work for you, Jeff?
What about an accent? What do you what say? Yes? All right. It says
ding, 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 ding.
Wow. Okay, accents. All right. That one's actually on the Universal list, though, as well. So apparently everybody likes accents. I know I do.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. It also says number 9 for the men to women instant turn-ons is she admits to loving sex. Well,
so do you like a man who loves sex, Jeff?
I don't know. I think that one's kind of stupid, to be honest.
No way. No, I'm telling you that one works because anytime I talk about sex, they love it. It works.
I mean, I guess I don't really have that problem because, you know, for the gays, like, we're with men, and most men love sex. So, I mean, it's kind of a non-issue, you know. So I guess true.
All right. Then what about number 8 if they drive a motorcycle? It says the 8th biggest turn-on for a man is if their partner drives a motorcycle.
That's an interesting thing. I think that's weird.
Well, I sure as hell can't drive a motorcycle. I think it's like a badass kind of turn-on, you know? Like, girls like a bad boy. Why wouldn't a guy like a bad girl, you know?
Right.
Right.
You know what? I can see that because, like, so many men love, like, Michelle Rodriguez. And, like, right now she's doing all that
right.
for the Fast and the Furious. Like, they want a girl who can, like, kick somebody's ass. But,
and what
you know,
about Megan Fox?
Megan Fox. Yeah,
Megan
Fox.
Angelina Jolie and almost all
what?
Of her dance. Yeah, I have to say I agree with it now that we're thinking
True.
About it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I have to draw the line. Like, if you're riding up in a Harley or, you know, a hog and you've got the leather coat on and, like, you got on the back, you know, the angels, the demons, or whatever the fuck that group is, like, that's a little much for me. But, like, you got a nice man on, like, a crotch rocket or something, like, good afternoon.
How about if they're pulling up on a Vespa with a matching helmet?
Not so much. If you're pulling up on a Vespa, I'm waving goodbye.
Okay. Well, my dad has a Vespa. I guess I'll tell him to stay home.
Yeah, please do.
Well, good thing Jeffrey won't want to date your dad.
I guess that's a good thing then.
Yeah.
All right, number 7 is if they have a sexy voice.
Yep, true.
Yeah, well, you
I
are in love with
guys hello. And girls, too. Like, yeah, like. Women like that, too. Like, they like the man with the voice, you know? Like, it goes right back to the accent. Anything that's different, I think you're like, ooh, you know?
Yeah.
You're yeah, like, you just that's fine, I guess.
If you get a man that can sing, oh.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding.
Play guitar. You got me. But if you playing, like, the horn or the cello or something, again, I'm going to wave goodbye. But if you could play the guitar or you could sing to me, you got my attention.
Well,
there
I can
go.
Play the pan flute. How does that work for you?
No, I'm not really interested in the flute. Oh, the drums. The drums will work, too. But, yeah, I love
drums
me a good musician. So if they've got
that
a good
just
voice.
Went right
and
over Jeffrey's head. I can't believe it. He missed my drum.
No, it didn't. It didn't, but I just kept moving on.
Okay. All right. Well, how about... I don't know if this one's applicable to you, Jeffrey, but number 6 for heterosexual men turn-on is if she has nice breasts. And I like
well,
that one.
True.
Obviously, I invested in a nice pair, so I'm happy with that one.
Right.
You know,
I
like
think most about. Men are breast men. Like they, it's like it goes from the childbirth. Like, you know. They were breastfed. They want boobies. It's just what it is.
Well, I like a good
yeah.
peck on a man. You know, like I like to see a man with pecs and not like much like myself with the man breasts. This is. So I must say true.
Yeah, I like nice pecs as well. But all right. It says number 5. This one's sexual again. It says have a nice ass.
Yeah, there
true.
You go.
True.
True. Ding 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 ding.
No, I mean, I'm a fan of that one as well.
Yeah. I think that's a great thing. I think if you got a nice ass, and yeah, it's good. It's all good. All good in the hood.
Mm.
I mean, I think everyone likes that, but that didn't make the woman's list.
Well, look, right. I'm going to tell you right now, that convention we were at in Lexington, there's a particular person. Not really my flavor, but this person, I'm pretty sure you probably could have bounced a quarter off this person's ass. And I kept looking over at Karen and was like, but damn, the ass. I couldn't get over the ass. And the jeans were fantastic. I wanted them as well. But yeah. Ooh.
I need to know who that was. You better text me. Or just give me a color.
You know him very well.
Oh, am I a quarter off of this ass or not?
I'm pretty sure
probably.
You did that more.
Okay, well then you have excellent taste.
Yeah, but the rest of it I can leave. Just give me the ass was nice looking.
Oh, okay.
We didn't need anything else but the ass.
The ass was very nice on the ass.
Which sounds about right for a gay man.
Sure does. All right. Well, back to the list.
Okay, back to the list. We digress.
We went off on a tangent, but I needed it, so I wish it happened. Okay. Number four is she looks like a porn star.
I don't know that that's across the board, because I do know a lot of guys, like, they want to tap that ass on a porn star, but I don't know that necessarily that's their attraction. Like, they're like,
honey, this isn't the I want to have the mother of my children list. This is the
person.
Oh,
okay, my bad.
So it makes sense that they would want her to look like a porn star.
Makes sense. I got my list confused.
I think it makes sense, which is why I have Blonde, white hair, and orange skin, and inflated breast assist.
Yes, I was going to say,
number four.
I was like, I don't know that Karen knows that you are the porn star looking girl. Okay, so I can say
this. There's nothing wrong with that girl. I'm not saying, I honestly got confused. I was sitting here thinking, okay, what's the kind of, you know, what are the things that men are attracted to? But it was like what turns you on. That's a difference.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep. This is the turn on.
I have a weird answer for this because there are some really ugly gay men in porn. They're just not so cute. And I don't like twinks, so it have to be a specific porn star looking. But yes, I can say yes. Unless we're dealing with an elephant trunk.
The women and the men, when you rank porn stars, the men are like zeros, and the women are like 10 pluses. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, I'm like, but then that goes to show you who's producing most of the pornography that is out there. It's men. Like, they're just doing it for themselves. They're not even giving us women anything to look at, anything to hold on to.
Well, no, I have to say, like, and now in gay porn, like, the men are beautiful. You know what I mean? They're all tight, got their bodies right. But, you know, I mean, it really would have to go to the type of man that I like, because I don't like the little, you know, I don't like young men. I don't like early 20s. I don't like the little twinkie-looking bitches. Like, I want a man.
Right.
Me too. That's our Lord Voldemort.
Yeah, you and I.
We totally differed on that, because he liked
the young. You and I agree completely. Like, we want a man.
Yeah,
completely. Oh, man.
Completely.
Okay. All right. Next on the list is... Oh, let me find it. I done lost my list. Oh, full lips.
I'm not answering that.
Well, that's a yes, because your number one is LL Cool J, so...
Clearly.
Well, I just feel like that's a loaded question because we have a guy on the show named Lips. I just feel like it's a loaded question for me. And he did get drunk.
It's like a conflict of interest.
And he did get drunk on air one night and specifically called me out and said he loves me. So,
So you want to maintain your happy home and not
marry him. So not where it went.
So is.
We can so bend it in so many directions.
We can and we will.
Jeffrey, I love you. Yeah.
He didn't say Karen. He didn't say you guys.
Right.
He said Jeffrey. I love
yep.
you.
Yep.
That part is true, Mr. Lipsy. Lipsy.
Jimbo Bob. Lippy lippy.
Lippy lippy. Oh,
well,
whoa.
I like nice lips, obviously. I think they're amazing.
Yeah. I do too. I think it's a must.
All right. So,
okay, so
we
what's
all
the
agree
number
on
one?
Lips. Well, no, we're at number two.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
How dare you? number two is she talks dirty.
Hmm.
I have to say, I agree with this one because that happens to be a skill of mine. I haven't ever
yes,
heard
it
that
is.
Of the man.
Yeah, I can't think I've ever gotten any complaints.
I'm going to say true because I enjoy a little
true.
Dirty talk. Talk nasty to me.
Yeah, I'm going to say true also. It's one of those things, I think. It's so cerebral, like, you know, it's like one of those things. You can't deny it.
No, I have to say, all I keep having is flashbacks to the scary movie, or no, what was it? Was it a scary movie where he was like, talk dirty to me, and she's like, I'm going to shit on these walls, Ray. Like, oh, I can't do it. Like, she took it a little too literal.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was in like one of the. It was either in Scary Movie or Don't Be Menace to South Central while Drinking Your Juice in the Hood, where he's like, "Talk dirty to me, baby. Talk dirty to me, baby." And she's like, "I'm a shit on these walls, Ray. I'm a shit on. I'm a mama. Do all this kind of crazy." He's like, "She's like too dirty." He's like, "Uh huh."
Yeah, it wasn't. He talked literally dirty, like nasty, gross
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, that's not the dirty we're talking about.
I know,
I think
but...
it was appreciated, though, with a man as well as a woman. Because women are so, like, you know, mental. So it's like, if a man does that and knows how to do that just right, that's definitely a turn on for a woman.
So
because it's
what
like,
you're telling me...
that gets your brain right.
Yeah.
Is my radio husband-in-law talks dirty to you?
Every night.
I think like him and I need to finally sit down and have that conversation.
Oh,
what are y'all gonna talk about?
We go ahead and talk
he's
about
not
the boundaries.
Talk
now,
not
I don't want him
to talk
dirty to
you.
Me, but I need to make sure he's not talking too dirty to my radio husband.
Oh, you would want him to keep me because if you think I'd be in a bad mood, you know. I'd really be in a bad mood if he wasn't on point.
What, basically, you're telling me now, from now on, every time I piss you off, I need to just text him and tell him to call you and talk dirty?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got this.
Basically.
Wonderful. I'm going to work on that.
Okay.
Are we ready for number one, kids?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
I can't wait.
All right. Number one is... if you get a peek of her undies. As in, the theory behind that is that sometimes you'd rather just be teased and have to think what's going on and fill in the blanks rather than get to see all of it right away.
Oh,
I like
I
that. I like unless a man's wearing some Speedos or some shit like that, I can't do it.
Right. No, I agree with
you
because when a woman or a man does anything too fast, it's a huge turnoff.
Right.
In my
so,
opinion.
You know, like, it's like that theory behind Girls Gone Wild. You know, Joe Francis made all of his money and found his footage because he was working as an intern in a news station, and he found all this, like, extra footage of girls flashing the camera, and he got really
mm-hmm.
excited and was like, that's my moneymaker. So
yeah.
It's that whole theory. You see something you're not
but.
Supposed to see, but not necessarily all of it.
Right.
I feel like, though, it has to be certain panties. Because if you get, you know, some dude not trying, I don't know he's going to get necessarily excited over some grandma panties.
Like the dirty girls.
You know, yeah, you know what I'm saying? But, like, man, like, I don't know what it is, girls. Tell me how you feel. Like, James, you too. Well, how do you feel about men in, like, bikini underwear or thongs or Speedos? I can't, none of it. No, that's gross.
No, because to me it feels a little gay.
I
yeah.
like, nope, I like the
whitey-tighties. I like a man, manly man.
I like, really, my favorite is short, tight, bright boxer briefs.
Yep.
Like, almost bikinis, but just a little bit more all the way around the leg, though.
Yeah, I like a good boxer brief. But if you show up and you got a bikini on, a bikini bottom, some Speedo-looking thing, or some fucking thongs, you got to get out my bedroom. Right.
Like
again, I want a man.
Same underwear. Yeah, I want a man.
I want a girl.
A man can have yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
I want a man. I don't want a girl. Like, you
what
show up as a thong, you... I think that's kind of gross for a guy. Like, for a girl, I think it's okay. But I think if you're, like, wearing jeans and you go on commando, like, you're going to have blue balls, and it's a whole nother ball game.
Blue balls or ball sweat?
Like, both. Like, that's just not really. Yeah, not men. I don't know why women don't bother me, because you guys don't really have much to get that slopping around or rubbed up on. And, you know, because, no.
Not right. I agree. I don't mind if a girl, like, not that I, you know, but doesn't, like, when a girl says, oh, I don't have any underwear on, I laugh because I probably don't have on any underwear on either.
Ooh.
And I just know how it's easier, like, for clothes and, like, it's just easier, right? So,
mm-hmm.
man, that freaking grosses me out to no end.
Yeah,
I'm
me
like,
too.
I'm like, what the hell? Like, it's like, huh? Like, it's just like, again, it's like too feminine for me. It just feels
no, I disagree.
Like, I need a man's man.
Because I think that it's easy access and it's convenient. And
well, unless
it's better
they're working out, I don't think there's any reason.
And
no,
if they're working out,
better,
I'm not touching
like,
them.
But for instance,
right.
What if you're like at Disneyland and you're on It's a Small World After All and you're in the back seat and he doesn't have underwear on and you don't have underwear on and you just... Bada boom, bada bing, and it's not a small world after all.
That is horribly wrong. You, I'm calling your father, and I'm telling him you disgraced Disneyland. You bad girl, you. That's so dirty.
You will do nothing of the sort, and it's a great idea, and everybody should try it.
No.
Well, this is
now,
what I'm
okay.
saying. They already have a pee-pee hole. Like, it's not like they don't have easy access. They can wear underwear and still have easy access.
Like, I am such a freak. Like, it wasn't
yeah,
the last couple of years. Well, no, it was maybe like 10 years ago, like when I was like getting into my 20s, that I stopped
mm-hmm.
wearing underwear with swim trunks because just the whole like netting thing just wasn't, it didn't feel secure enough for me and I just couldn't do it. I was like, oh, no, this
yeah,
no.
How do you wear underwear with the netting? Because the netting, isn't it usually cut like a boxer or I mean like a brief?
Well, I don't know. I think back then, I don't really remember how it was, but whatever it was, like, I always wore underwear.
What do you get a pass with swim truck, excuse me? Because
well,
I
now
mean,
I'm fine with it, but it took me
right.
a long, long time to get over it, you know. But, like, now
just
I could see where from there was...
Jeffrey. Just let it loose. Let them float.
If
right.
you were at home or something, you just got out the shower and you just got a pair of gym shorts on or something because you just got out the shower, you know, or whatever, you're going to get dressed. Like, now that I that would be okay because it's a little easier, whatever. It could be a little fun. But other than that, I just, no. Because I'm that type of bitch, like, if I go in the bathroom and I forget to bring my underwear, I will scream until Joe answers or I will call him on the phone and be like, could you go bring me some drawers? Like, I can't even put my clothes on with no underwear.
You don't walk around your house naked?
Honey, I don't even like to see myself naked in the shower. Are you kidding?
I straight up be just whatever. Like, I'm a naked. I'm a streaker. Like, it's
me
what
too.
It is. That's probably
never.
Why I don't let nobody live with us because it's like I will be streaking. I'll be
even when
naked.
I was skinny, oh, no. Like, you want to take a shower? Oh, no. No, then
you
won't see me naked.
Dressed?
Can't do that.
You get fully dressed after you shower?
Yeah, every time. Well, you know what's really funny is now I've gotten so, you know, I don't, like, I get expensive towels, but I feel like I don't get dry enough to my own liking. Like, I don't want to be wet at all or in any certain areas, you know. So I blow dry my whole body every day.
That is weird.
You don't like to be moist?
No, I don't.
Moist? Do you like to be moist?
No, not after I take a shower.
What? See, that's what you and I are so different because this is the thing. I like to get out of the shower because I usually take a hot shower. Like, sometimes I don't even turn the cold water on. It's just hot. And then I like to just be the cow. And then I kind of need to just let my body just dry ill natural.
No.
Like,
no, because... No, I don't like that. Cause no, because
you're
mm-mm.
so funny. You're so weird, but that's okay. I don't mind it.
Like you didn't notice when we were in Lexington. Right? Who the hell? There's three boys in the room next door, and the blow dryer kept coming on after the one shower. Like it didn't cross your mind as to what the hell was going on.
I couldn't hear one thing over there. Those Lexington hotel walls are really good. I didn't hear that.
Well,
I used to be dressed. By the time I got up, you were like dressed. And I was like, oh, he's prompt.
I want to know if Jeffrey agrees with the female turn-ons or not.
Oh, this should be fun.
Yeah, I want to know if you concur with the feminine aphrodisiacs or not.
If I do, does that make me a hoe or something? Because I agree with every man. Oh, that's the problem.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're a whore. Well,
yeah.
Great. Okay. Let's go ahead and confirm the whoreness before we start the list. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Move on.
Confirm. Times two.
Whore. Okay.
One for you, one for me. All right. The first one, and this is my second biggest one behind power, is lift me up. Like you know when a man picks you up and spins you around, or just holds you, or you
push you up against the wall, kind of thing.
One hand and throw you up against the wall. Yes.
Amen.
That, like, oh, my gosh.
I'm not really in a position where I could be picked up at the moment. But, yes, I've always found that. Like, I've always wanted to be kind of, like, thrown up. Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
You meet it. Well, you're obviously married. What happens in your next life if you meet someone and they can pick you up? And they will.
Well, even when I was skinnier, I don't know, but like at the time too.
You liking to lose control because like you got to be vulnerable to be picked up.
No,
what
because
if,
this
what
is
if,
the odd thing. I
what?
Like that is the one place that I really would like to lose control. Like the whole like being overpowered and like that. Like I'm kind of a freak when it comes to that stuff. Like I love it. Like tie me up and take advantage and do whatever. I don't care if I cry. Like do it. So, yeah, I'm like that. Yeah, no, I like to, yeah. But it never happens. Like, I'm always the aggressor.
Yeah, well, I am
need
too,
to, like,
but that's why.
I was going to say, maybe you need to, like, take a little bit of a back seat and let them be the aggressor and see what happens.
Oh,
maybe
I tried, but then it's like, come on, bitch, slap me a little, do something. Come on, let's get it.
Well, that's funny.
I have
okay,
to say, though, I've trained
well,
it very
do we
well.
Do we need to email? Do we need to
that's
email
good.
Jeb and slap you?
No.
I will.
I'm gonna he's been trained.
It.
He's been trained.
He has, because he does number two. Joe opens doors and gives up seats. He's a gentleman, and chivalry is not dead with him.
Yes.
Yes, I do. That's a turn on.
I agree with that one. That one, yeah, that's high up on the list for me. I
oh, you know what's even what? More turn on? I'm going to paint the picture. We were in New York on a subway. It is hot as hell. The subway is packed as hell. We've been walking all day long. A little old lady comes onto the subway, and my boyfriend gets up and gives her his seat.
Mm-hmm.
Love
him. See, yeah. That to me, yep.
Now you're showing off, but I like it.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right.
So sorry.
How about, number three. I like
ooh.
Number three. Okay. Number three is initiates sex in the middle of the night.
Oh, love it. Mm-hmm. You mean like I gotta wake you up kind of thing? I couldn't wait.
Yeah.
I just gotta wake you up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See,
yep.
This is where I'm gonna differ.
You never get sleep. That's because you never get sleep.
Right. Like, I sleep so bad. And now, if it was a weekend, I'd be okay with it. And I am. Like, so I guess if it's a weekend, then true. But if it's a weekday, I got to get up for anything, false. Fuck you. Don't touch me. I'm trying to sleep.
That's true. I think I have the weekday thing, too.
Well,
like, no.
No. It says in the middle of the night, though. So you get to go back to sleep.
Not
yeah,
always.
No,
see, last time up, I don't go back to sleep.
Good with
yeah.
that. Don't wake me up in the morning because I'll be mad. But in the middle of the night, go for it.
No. On a weekend, yes. But a weekday, absolutely not, because I'll punch you in the face.
Oh, God.
No. I can't get back to sleep. Are you kidding? Like, I have to hold pee all night because otherwise I'd be up three times, and then I don't sleep at all because I get up to go pee and I can't fall back to sleep for 4 hours.
I can't even hold my pee. I stopped drinking at, like, 7 just so I don't have to pee at night. Okay, and number 4 is deal with shit. And I know both of you like this one because it means, like, you know, for instance, lately my car has needed a quart of oil, and I don't know what the hell that means. And I don't want to deal with it, but the car is expensive, and I don't want to mess it up, but that's like boy stuff. You know, I need a man to handle that.
Right.
I mean, I could figure it out. But it would be really nice to just have a man that has my back and he takes care of shit. Or, like, you know, fix the garbage disposal or put in a light bulb that I can't reach. Like, that kind of stuff. That's hot. I like it. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But
that's
hard when you get a man that don't know how to do it. Joe does. He's actually quite handy. But, you know,
but
like, I've had boyfriends that were, like, manly, but they just didn't, like, where I'm the one that's fucking fixing the sink.
Ugh.
I'm like, no, bitch, I'm cooking dinner. You fix the sink.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Okay.
Yeah.
Number 5 is be super solid while I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
I agree with that
one. Pressure.
Yeah, because I'll freak out sometimes. I know. Sometimes I do.
No. Really?
I know you two have never seen that.
No,
yeah,
never.
So. I just need you to just chill and just be there and know that I'll come back and be normal again very soon, hopefully.
See, this one's tough for me because it depends. Again,
you're drama
if I'm
mama.
Freaking out. Yeah, well, if you don't react
to
at all.
Freak out with you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
If you don't react at all or, like, I'm fighting at you and you don't respond to me, then it just makes the situation worse.
That's not what it means, though. It says stay solid. Stay solid means have your back. That means understand and hold
or
it down and just let me be crazy. Yeah, it doesn't mean ignore me. It means just, you know, just be there, stay solid, and let me feel like you got my back.
I know, but it's
kind of
tough, too, because I'm saying, like, if I'm flipping out and you keep telling me it's okay, it'll be all right, like, I'm going to punch you in the face. Like, no, let me freak out and don't tell me it's going to be all right because right now I want to know it's wrong. Like, tell me in 20 minutes when I calm the fuck down.
Like, Jeffrey is drama mama. He likes to, if we're going to fight, let's fight. Let's fight.
Right.
You need
I don't
to
really
know
like
that they are passionate.
No,
but here's
the
thing.
Just let me flip out and just be chill and not judge me for it. Because it could happen.
Oh, yeah, I need somebody to not judge me, too, because I'm crazy as shit. Like, I won't deny
it.
Like, there's probably a tad of bipolar in there, so, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then I guess
great.
I'll
all
go
right.
with Drew.
Yeah, number 6, I don't care for at all. I hate it, in fact. Number 6 is that women love it and think it's really hot when a man is genuinely good at playing with kids. But
yeah, true.
I don't care about that one.
Well, I will say this. I feel like if you've got patience to play with a child, then you're going to have patience to deal with things in life. Like, people who are annoyed by kids, I don't know. Like, sometimes go, well, I don't know that I could date them, you know, just because it's like, you just got, like, it's a kid. Like, you got to have compassion.
Well, and I think it's different, too. Like, Katrina does not like kids, does not want them, where you and I both like kids. And me, obviously, I work with children, so it's kind of a big thing to me. So if I see a man playing with kids, like, that does kind of, like, it gives me a warm, little fuzzy feeling.
It's endearing, I think.
Yeah.
I disagree. I don't like it.
One thing I will say, when my boyfriend, he went home for the first time with me, and I walked into the room. I forget what I was doing, but I walked into the room, and he's playing haircut with my little nephews. I was like, oh!
Well, that's pretty damn adorable. I'll give you that. That's cute.
Yeah, it was so cute. Like, they would sit down, and he'd pretend like he put the towel around them, and he was, like, pretending he was cutting their hair, and then the next one was like, okay, my turn. It was so cute, Katrina. I think you would change your mind.
Well, that's cute. That is very cute, but...
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
There might have been a ranger that I heard talking to some infants on the phone one time, and I did think it was adorable. But I don't want to be around it. If you keep that on the phone, that's fine.
Well, what are you going to do if you ever date a guy who has kids? What are you going to do?
Keep them on the phone and let me just stay
but
away.
But no, they got to come over at some point. They got to come see
and that's
daddy.
Fine. And then they can go back to mommy on the week. During the week,
and
that's cool.
Karen, you know damn well that if she gets a dude that has kids, he better be able to afford a nanny because Katrina's not doing nothing. And the bitch can't
exactly.
cook, so they're screwed.
They're not going to get to eat.
Mommy
dearest over there.
No, daddy can know how to cook.
Katrina teaching the children how to uncork a
make
champagne
bottle.
Make a
martini. Bottle. Yep. You got
so what
that
happens
right.
What happens when they come over for the weekend and then daddy gets called in because he has to do a huge multi-million-dollar deal. He needs to close.
Nanny.
And Mama Katrina, Stepmama Katrina, you need to watch the kids for an hour or two.
Stepmama Katrina will take the kids to the nail salon, and we will all get manis and pedis, and I will have champagne with the manis and pedis. And they can
and
get
the kids
drive. On their toes.
You're going to drink and drive with the kids in the seat, Katrina.
Oh, God. We're going to see that
picture
in the news.
I live in Vegas. There's car services everywhere.
Damn it. I just hit a really – I was like, now I know how we're going to really get picked up. She's going to be the next Amanda Bynes after all.
Nice try.
We're still working on her.
We're going to borrow some kids and take some photos.
Yeah. Family photo. Uncensored radio family photo.
There's Katrina driving them around in the convertible Benz with a champagne bottle in her hand.
And she'll probably let the little baby sit in the front seat, which is totally against the law.
She'll have him on the, oh, you want to drive?
You know
it's
what?
Fun.
Even I know that's against the law. Like, I, yeah, no, even I know that. I wouldn't do that. But, you know, I avoid them at all costs, so it's fine. Number seven, guys, is women want a man that will accept emotion.
Okay.
Like, you know, if I'm sad, deal with it. If I'm, you know, because men typically resist emotion. You know, like if I'm expressing that I'm happy or I'm sad or I'm, you know, being some kind of emotional.
Are you sure we're not talking about like watching a movie and a man crying? Because that I'm not getting down with that.
No. No, it's like if you're crying or something, you need him to just, you know, kind of hold your hand and be understanding and.
Yeah,
not,
I do like that.
Not judgy.
I like that.
Yeah.
But if he's crying,
yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm checking out. Like, I ain't even trying to be in the same house as you.
Why?
Because I don't know.
But they're not allowed to have an emotion every now and then.
No. No, you know
yeah,
what?
Like, I'm the only woman in this house.
That's right.
Okay, you know what? It was a deal breaker for me when Mr. Stuffed Animal said that he was crying because he just got his stuffed animal back. I didn't like it.
Yeah, well, that was
exactly.
kind of weird.
That was crazy.
That was kind of like deranged.
That was a deal breaker. But if I'm emotional and you're understanding of it, then I like that. Number eight is he cares about his friends, which is interesting because, you know, You assume that obviously if they're friends, they care about each other, but I think it's different because women are so loving and supportive of their friends, you know, like when my friends are crying or something, I'll drop everything and, you know, do whatever they need.
Well,
right.
Here's the thing, though.
You know what's funny? That's surprising to me that that's on the list because a lot of women have problems with their man having friends. Like,
right.
They get all
that's
territorial.
True.
And so I would think if he cares about her friends, she'd be like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
But this is where,
fuck them.
This is where women are stupid. Because if he don't
yeah.
care about his friends, what the hell makes you think he's going to care about you the way he's supposed
mm-hmm.
to?
Yep. If he would treat his homeboy like his road dog horribly, he's going to treat you bad.
Exactly.
If he treats his mama bad, if he treats his friends bad, you're going to get treated bad.
Yep.
Well, yeah, it's like, it says that, you know, it's in a different way, but it says that if he's just genuine, like, the example was that this girl's listening to her boyfriend call his friend who just lost his grandfather. And she said he listened, he made many sounds of sympathy, like grunts, asked about the family members, and told his friend he loved him in his own way and promptly got off the phone. It was brief but real and heartfelt. Yeah, like, that's, I would expect that, and I would want that, you know?
Uh-huh.
Show that you care. It doesn't have to be loving and, you know, all emotional and, you know, but supportive.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I agree. That's cool. You gotta be cool.
Yep.
Okay. Number 9 is show his backbone. Now,
show what?
Show that you have a backbone.
Oh, yes.
Why
girl,
is it
like,
that?
If you have to be a hard ass and you're willing to go there, then I not only expect it, but I appreciate it because, you know, I'm a very, very, very strong woman, and I need a strong man, you know, because, I'll just run all over you if you're not.
Here's the thing with this,
what
though.
You need to say.
Have you ever gotten with a man and he wasn't very strong-willed and kind of coward or whatever you wanted to do, but then all of a sudden he decided to grow a pair and then try to be like that? No, 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 no. You can't change up halfway through this.
Nope.
Sorry.
That's true. That's true. I agree. But that's why I said you got to show it. Like, you know, just whenever it's appropriate. Not all the time. Don't be crazy. Don't be Hitler. But, you know, it's like, you know, it's hot when you see him stand up for himself. Like if his boss is trying to walk all over him. Or
absolutely.
If, you know, some slacker at work is trying to, you know, take
standing
advantage.
Up for you.
Oh, exactly. Yes. They need to stand up for you. If they don't stand up for nobody else, they need to stand up for you. Ladies,
exactly.
Take note. Don't let no man not stand up for you, especially to his mama, his friends. He can stand up for you, not disrespect them, and still be like, well, you know, no, don't say that to them, blah, blah, blah. Like, they got to have your back. Especially
well,
if
you know,
the relationship is serious. Because I feel like at that point, he's building a future with you. It's not like, you know, your man's got to take up for you.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
right,
because, I saw this a lot in Alisa's relationship with her new fiancé, Alisa Reyes, and her new fiancé, Nate. You know, there was a little trouble. I read a family letter of theirs on the air, and I was talking about their, you know, little squabble that they were having.
Well,
and
you didn't tell anybody that it was her, so you just out of that.
Yeah, I did. I did later.
You did?
But
I don't even remember you outing it. No, it's definitely
a couple days later, I mentioned who was getting married because she'd already put it all over the internet. But I have to say that I love how he handled it because he was very respectful to his family and he was in a tough place because he was between a rock and a hard place. He was stuck between the family we love and the woman that he's starting his life with. And, you know, he killed it like a man. He stood up for her, but he did it with love and respect for everyone. And that really won me over.
Yeah, I agree. That's beautiful. I think
no
that's beautiful.
And number 10 is we want him to listen.
Yes.
I mean,
do you hear
I think
that? Radio
that's
husband,
me.
Wife.
Hear that?
You got to listen.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Rude.
Joe, I feel so sorry for Joe.
No, fuck you, because I'm constantly getting yelled at because I'm always on the phone with you, and he's like, are you listening to me or I'm texting you? I'm like, hang on, like, you know, I'm not paying attention because I'm talking to you.
there's a large portion of the day I am not calling or texting you, so you will not.
Better take care of it. Jeffrey, what you need to do is you need to feed your man some pumpkin pie because it's a huge aphrodisiac and it pumps 40% more blood to the penis.
I'm good in that area because
I just invested in stock in Marie Callender's and it's going down.
Marie Callender's? Well, that ain't even a real pumpkin, girl.
No,
please.
I don't care. You need to go to the... Ooh!
surprise when you have a friend. That's all we got. Get some pumpkin pie, people.
We're going to pick this up tomorrow. Good night, everybody. Stay tuned for Eazy-E on, Title Pending. It's going to be fantastic.
Welcome to Title Pending. I am your host, Ethan Randall. Sorry we weren't able to be with you last week. Had a little bit of a mix-up there with a 50th anniversary party. But we're coming back at you this week. Got a special guest with me tonight. Been begging him to come on for weeks. Now that we're not in school together, he's finally with us. Greg Donahue, nice to see you. Nice to hear from you.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor and a privilege.
And we also have Cody Butler with us tonight. Cody Butler calling off a different phone number. Didn't recognize it at first.
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
Great. Well, Cody, you kind of have this presence where whenever you're around, I tend to act like a jackass and do crazy things. Well, when I'm at school at Oswego, Greg takes this place for you. And Greg's going to be joining us tonight. Not sure if you heard that. Greg, Cody, Greg. Lots to get into tonight, boys. I was going to talk a little bit of sports. One of the things I want to talk about, because I've been listening to it, I've been listening to some arguments about it, is the Redskins potentially changing their nickname. Greg's a big Redskins fan. I figured we'd bring his insight into that. And I also had a story from Theodore Johnson. It's racism in 2013, just get over it, and his theory that racism is not over. Figured I'd ask you guys about that. We've got a couple of things to discuss. But first of all, I've been Netflixing it up, not watching a lot of TV lately. Netflix has been my thing. Family finally got a TV in my room. We got the Genie, so I was getting all excited to watch all these new shows I was recording. And turned it on, and ESPN's throwing the spelling bee in soccer. And I just wonder, like, what the hell has happened? Why has ESPN resorted to showing soccer in the spelling bee? Does this interest you at all, Greg?
I'll be honest. I don't get the whole spelling bee thing. I mean, it's not sports. Last time I checked, ESPN is supposed to be a sports network, so I don't really feel that has any place being on ESPN's network. Soccer, sports, I don't think it's all that big in the United States. I feel like they could probably be airing programming. There'd be more interest to more Americans at that point. But I think there's really a big push right now to try to boost the popularity of soccer in this country. I don't think it's really going to work, but, I guess I got to give them some credit for trying.
Deez, what about you? I think you're not really a big soccer guy, and if you are, is ESPN influencing you, or is it just pissing you off more than anything?
No, I mean, personally, as well as anyone else, I like to call it fagball. I absolutely hate soccer. I think it's boring to watch on TV. I respect people who play it, but in terms of entertainment value, it has to rank right down there with baseball. After these playoffs wrap up, NBA and NHL, it's pretty much the worst time for sports because there's no football going on, there's no hockey, no basketball. All you got is baseball and whatever else they can come up with to show you. So, we're getting close to that really weak time for ESPN.
I got to agree that with soccer, it's one of those sports that growing up is great to play, but, man, it's terrible to watch.
Oh, it's so simple. It's a sport that a 4- and 5-year-old can easily learn, but once you're in your 20s, there's really not much interest to it. And I've always proposed this theory that the NFL should start in August and the Super Bowl be played in early January opposed to late February. Because come February time, I'm already in the full swing of basketball. Football, I'll watch the playoffs because it's absolutely awesome football, but I just wish they'd start a little bit earlier because July and all the way to mid-August, just absolutely brutal. I don't mind baseball, but it's not at the top of my list, and it's just a rough time to be a sports fan. Greg, I know you're a Yankees fan, but do you hold that same belief that you wish football started a little earlier, or are you cool with the way it is?
Yeah, I like the way it starts now just because I like the fact that generally it's a week after college football starts, so it's kind of nice to have that week where college football kind of takes the center stage, and then the next week we can get going with the NFL season. So just because I'm a college football fan, too, I'm kind of okay with the way it works out.
What about you, Cody? Would you switch it, or do you think it's perfect the way it is?
I'm sorry, I missed the question. I know it's unprofessional, but I wasn't paying attention.
Well, I'd rather you do that than answer a question that I didn't ask and throw us really off base. Well, what I said is July and all the way up to mid-August, sports season is just absolutely dead. Like, there's only so much tennis and golf and baseball you can watch. And I propose the theory that football starts in early August and ends the first week of January, opposed to starting in early September and ending the first week of February.
I mean, that's cool. That'd be cool, I guess. But, you know, either way, then it's just going to seem, if you switch it, then it's going to seem like it ends too early and it's going to, you know, everyone's going to miss it sooner. So, I mean, I don't think it would matter too much, honestly. I mean, I'd be cool with that, but I really don't think it would make too much of a difference.
All right. Now that we're on the topic of football, Greg, I'm going to let you take this. You're more invested in the story, and you have a lot more background knowledge. But basically, Redskins is, when the politically correct world's kind of deemed offensive and people want it changed to something else. Can you tell the audience exactly that story and then tell us where you stand on being the diehard Redskins fan you are? And then Cody will get your opinion, and then I'll close it off.
Well, I think in general right now in sports is kind of a push to do away with just about any nickname that's related to, you know, Native Americans. I know this happened in college sports. They changed some nicknames, and there's kind of been a push now in the pros. You know, I understand with Redskins probably the term kind of has a somewhat racial context to it. So I can kind of understand, really, the push to try to change it, that, you know, some people would find it offensive. For me personally, in a lot of ways, I hope they don't change it just because of all the tradition that, you know, is associated with the franchise. You know, I'm a, you know, diehard fan. You know, since I was a little kid, I've grown up rooting for the Redskins. And, I don't know, you know, in a lot of ways, I'd hate to see the name go. I think I'd probably get over it eventually, but I think initially it kind of upset me just from the sense of, you know, the history and the tradition to, you know, let that nickname go. Plus, you know, if you've seen their uniforms, I wouldn't say that in any way it's, you know, trying to be racist or offensive. It's, you know, a pretty dignified looking, you know, depiction of a Native American on the helmet. But I think just the title, you know, of the name is what kind of gets people a little bit there. So, you know, I can kind of understand both sides, but, you know, it'd be hard for me to let that name go. And I've heard some of the, like, proposed nicknames that they would switch to, but, you know, I guess whatever happens, happens. I'll still root for them. But, you know, it would just be, as a fan, it would be kind of sad to see all that tradition, you know, kind of be tossed aside.
Cody, before you brought up an excellent point they never thought of, is that when you see that symbol, it's like dignified and it shows a strong Native American. It doesn't show some lousy guy who's represents Native American in a negative light. But the question I'll have to ask you, in 2013, if there was a new franchise to come out, do you think Redskins would even be a possibility, or it's just way too offensive to start with a franchise with that name?
I highly doubt that they would start with a franchise with that name now. In fact, I don't think they would start almost any new franchise with a name that, you know, has any sort of ethnic or, you know, racial background or context to it. I think now, you know, I think they're just, it's such a, you know, in a lot of ways it's a good thing. I think people are much more sensitive to it. Some cases maybe even oversensitive, but in general, like I said, I think it's a good thing that they're not necessarily going for names like that. You know, if they had started the franchise in the past, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, I don't think that's what they would have gone with as a name. But, you know, that's the name that they've had now since the 30s. So it's kind of hard now to go back and change it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But, no, I definitely don't think that they would go with that name if they were starting a team today.
Cody, I'm not sure how well-versed you are in this area, but it seems like anything we ask you to talk about, you're pretty educated on it, even if that's the case or not. What are your thoughts on the Washington Redskins' name? Is it offensive? Maybe not offensive to you, but can you see where others would be offended, or you think we're going a little overboard with the political correctness?
No, I mean, I definitely think that you can understand why people would be offended. I mean, Redskins, that's kind of like saying, you know, yellow skins or something like that. It is almost a derogatory term towards that race. But, I mean, how is it any worse than the Cleveland Indians? I mean, that's not even correct. You know what I mean? And it's referring to Native Americans, but calling them Indians, which obviously we all know the story there. But I think kind of like you guys were saying, I mean, if it was to happen today, there's no way that name would pass. You know, there's no way that a team would be allowed to be called that. But the Washington Redskins has become much more than, you know, a a word to describe Native Americans. It's just, it's the team now. The Redskins is the football team. It's become so much more. So I think the tradition of it and the prestige they have, you know, granted they haven't been so good in the past decade or however long it's been, but, you know, certainly that overshadows any type of racial deal. I think it's just too late for those people to make a change. It's just too late for that to happen. You know, to change that name would do more, so much more harm to the franchise and to the prestige of the team than I think it would do good for Native Americans, in my opinion.
Well, I'm going to bring this up to you because you brought up an interesting point. Why are they making a big deal about Redskins but no one's saying anything about Indians? Do you guys have an opinion on that, or do you have any facts that show why that is? Because I'd never even thought about that. There are other names, but we only seem to be making a big deal out of the Redskins.
I think
Greg, I'll let you answer that, and then Cody, you can go ahead.
Well, I think it's just the fact that, I don't know, it probably just the sound of it rubs people the wrong way a little more, even though really Indians is, you know, equally bad. I would say that the Indians logo is probably more offensive if you look at it. I mean, it's like a, you know, Native American, you know, cartoon with busty.
Hippie almost. He just looks like complete idiot.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think they have a much more ridiculous and offensive, you know, logo associated with the team, whereas, you know, the Redskins have the much more dignified-looking logo. I don't know. You know, I think just the maybe the whole skin element is and, you know, associating the skin color, that's probably what makes the team more offensive to some people. But, you know, I would say if you really, you know, if you really boil it down, you know, Indians is at least as offensive, and given, you know, the logo that's associated with the team, you know, I'm kind of surprised there's not more of a push there with Cleveland to change it.
Well, one of the reasons I know that the Redskins are reluctant to do it, and you guys kind of hit on this, is that Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, said there'd be like $500 million of rebranding he had to do, and that's kind of a pain in the ass for him. But, Cody, let's say you're Native American. Which one offends you more, the Cleveland Indians and that goofy mascot, or the Washington Redskins and that solidarity and that toughness of the mascot?
I would say definitely the Indians would be more offensive, once again, because, like I said, that's not even the correct term. And I know how much that's like the most offensive thing you can say to a Native American is calling him an Indian. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that, to me, that seems way worse than, you know, I mean, Redskins, if you really think about Redskins, it's kind of funny how blatant that really is. But, you know, I guess when it comes down to the logo, I would say the same thing. I mean, the Indians one just looks goofy, whereas, like you said, the Redskins one almost looks dignified. I mean, really all it comes down to is, you know, if the team's doing good, because if the Redskins suck, you know, then they're not representing Native Americans very well. So that's really what it comes down to in the end for me, I think. Maybe that's why they're pissed, because they haven't, well, I guess last year they did okay, but typically speaking, in the past decade or so, however long it's been, they've kind of been at the bottom of the food chain. So I don't know, maybe that's why they're upset.
It would be funny if there was this push to change it, then all of a sudden they draft RG3 and there's just strength to keep it, and they're just absolutely in love with RG3 and decide, we can't change this now, guys. We were there for the rough years. We got RG3. This is finally paying off. But I know one of my favorite teams, the Florida State Seminoles. The Seminoles were a tribe in the Tallahassee area, which was Florida State's located, and they take great pride in that team. Well, that's a big thing to them. But I'm Irish. Greg, you're Irish. Cody, you're white, so you're pretty much Irish. Does the Notre Dame Fighting Irish offend you whatsoever? I know it doesn't for me. I think it's funny. I think it's great. Greg, your last name being Donahue.
I absolutely love. I mean, I'm a Notre Dame fan, and I absolutely love the name. And I would actually be, I would be extremely upset if there was ever a push or they decided to, you know, go away from that name or change it. You know, that would really offend me much more than, you know, having it. I, you know, think that most people that are, you know, of Irish descent, you know, and are fans of Notre Dame, they tend to embrace, you know, the whole Fighting Irish, you know, nickname and all that tradition. You know, I love it personally, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of other people that feel the same. I don't think too many people are overly offended by that. And, I mean, you know, I'm not really too offended by the Boston Celtics. I'm not a fan of them, but I certainly have no problem with the nickname. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just a different thing, but I know for me, nothing about Notre Dame's mascot or nickname, none of that bothers me at all.
Deez, what about you?
Well, I'm absolutely offended by Notre Dame, and not because I'm Irish. And no offense to Greg here, but the reason why Notre Dame Fighting Irish pisses me off is that because they're called the Fighting Irish, for some reason every family that has the slightest bit of Irish in their heritage feels some sort of bond to that team, despite the fact that they don't live anywhere near the school. They don't have any relatives that went to that school. It's almost as if, imagine if every Native American person you knew or anybody with Native American heritage rooted for the Indians and Redskins just because they were called the Redskins or the Indians. It's a little bit ridiculous, especially when half of the football team, well, more than half of the football team, is black players and people who definitely are not Irish, yet all these Irish people take pride in the team as if they came straight from Ireland. So that's what I don't like about Notre Dame, and that's why they're my number one most hated team in all of sports. I feel like you definitely already knew that, Ethan, so that's why it was good to pass that to me. But, yeah, that's my feelings on the subject.
Cody, I think you brought up an interesting point. We have affirmative action in society where certain minority groups need to be met. Why don't the Notre Dame football team, they have to have a certain quota of Irish players on the team? Maybe we'll get 15 Irish guys a year on that team, and we'll see if they reach any more national championships after we put that rule in place. Greg, as a Notre Dame fan, you think we should do that?
Well, I'm pretty sure you actually you can't necessarily have quotas as far as numbers anymore, but I don't think that would work too well. I think that probably the way they have it now is just fine in that regard.
I think your competitive spirit is taking over right there. Well, we're kind of talking on race right now, and I'm one of these people who always kind of held the views that it's 2013, man, you're kind of using the race card as a crutch, although I don't know how much credibility I say that because I'm a white guy and I've never been black, so I don't really know if I've experienced real race. So I try to challenge myself and read some articles. I came across one today. I'm just going to give a little oversight and then I'm going to have your guys' opinions on it because, Cody, I know it's something I've discussed with you before, and, Greg, I know we've had some pretty detailed discussions about it. Our one ex-roommate, Pat, held the exact opposite view, which I thought was great because it certainly challenged us and made us think. But this was by Theodore Johnson. It was called Racism in 2013. Just get over it. Here's a quote. I'm going to read it to you, and you guys tell me if you think there's some truth to that or you think he's kind of reaching. The negative images of blacks, whether old black-faced minstrel actors shucking with joy over watermelon or today's portrayals as criminals or foolish materialistic, everyone is impacted by this viewing. So basically, and I'm sure you guys understand what I'm talking about, but for the audience members, is negative images of African-Americans on TV kind of shape our views. For example, if you live in white suburbia and you have three black kids at your high school and you have no experience with it, your only experience with them is going to be through the television, and these negative images will automatically create a negative perception that you have. I think he had a point. I'm not sure how well that goes over. I mean, I always played basketball, and I always had a lot of black friends, so I was never impacted too much by TV, but that can't speak for everyone. Cody, you think he's got a point there? You think he's reaching a little bit?
Not really, man. I mean, there's always going to be ways that TV shapes our minds, whether negative or positive. I mean, just the same way that there'll be McDonald's ads of a happy, fit family going out and getting double cheeseburgers. I mean, we've all been to McDonald's, and we know that's not the case. I mean, the important thing here is not to cater to people being idiots. Like, we need to assume that people are smart enough to separate between what's on TV and what's in real life, and that's what we should be teaching our kids in school. We shouldn't be trying to protect them and change culture and change TV to fit a simple mind. We should be telling people, you know, everyone's equal. You know, don't believe what you see on TV. That's the more important thing. We need to have people that use logic and are smart enough to distinguish between what's real and what's not real. That's what I think.
Greg, before I get to you, Cody, you always didn't really subscribe to the media's theories, and a lot of times you kind of create your own path. But let's say you're less intelligent and you're more naive. Do you think TV ultimately shapes your decision and what you read ultimately controls everything, or do you think at the end of the day people end up finding out the truth and all the stuff that negative and positive balances out?
No, I mean, there's definitely puppets out there and there's sheep out there that don't have really a mind of their own, and it's a shame. But, you know, when it comes down to it, it is the truth. So, I mean, maybe this guy does have a point after all, because there is people that don't know the difference. And that's why I think it's important to implement that into our school systems and as parents to our children, to make sure that our kids have their own opinions and can distinguish between what's right and what's wrong and what's real and what's not. Because there's definitely kids that I know that I grew up with, people I meet every day who've never thought outside the box, never have thought to do any sort of research, kind of just hearsay. I mean, you can even break it down to a simple form of, like, what music they listen to or, you know, what clothes they wear, things like that. I mean, it's totally all from the TV or from, you know, whatever, just the media in general kind of shaping things and portraying things in a certain way that has a huge influence on them. And typically I'll relate to and gravitate towards people who kind of shy away from that and try to blaze their own trails, so to speak.
And I think that's totally respectable. And, whenever you talk, I kind of remember some things. We had talked before how Tyler Perry was such an embarrassment. And we had said, like, a lot of our black friends and white friends, like, thought he was a joke and no one ever took him seriously. And you had friends in Florida who had, like, zero black friends. And they thought, through viewing Tyler Perry shows, that's how every African-American acts. We just thought how ridiculous that is, how you need to actually have real-life experience and not just experiences through your television that are a little artificial. But, Greg, you heard the quote. You've taken similar classwork to me where you've heard quotes like these before. You think it's hogwash, or you think he's onto something?
Well, I mean, I don't think it maybe is to the extreme, but I definitely think that, you know, sadly, television does shape, you know, not everyone's opinions, but I think it probably for maybe even the majority, it might play in, you know, on some small level to the opinions that they, you know, kind of form. But then I do think there's some people that just, you know, take it way too literally, you know, as they watch shows and think that, oh, that's, especially like you said, if they don't necessarily have experience, you know, in their personal lives with, you know, dealing with people of, you know, different ethnicities and backgrounds, that they're going to, you know, some people are just going to assume that what they see on television is correct when it's not. And, you know, but I think for the most part, I think people are smarter than that. And like Cody said, I think it's important that, you know, people, you know, whether it's in school or the parents, you know, make a point of discussing with their kids that, you know, maybe as they watch a program that, hey, that's not really the way it is in real life. You know, only some people are going to be like that. You know, that's not the way, you know, they show some, you know, someone that's black being, you know, criminal, they can point out, you know, to their kids that, listen, that's not how most people are. That's just, you know, a very, very small minority out of, you know, certain groups. So I just think it's, you know, I think television plays a role, but it's important, like Cody said, that parents and teachers, you know, get the truth out there to kids and, you know, from a young age, try to flush out the racial biases and, you know, racism that might exist out there.
Well, you guys talked about how parents and teachers should educate. Do you think a class like media literacy would be more important to the development of youth, opposed to like an art class or a math B class where it's material you'll never use? I know was a communications major, now that I'm a graduate, and a lot of the concepts I learned, I was able to watch TV and be critical of it, and I think it certainly helped me in my everyday life. And I stand that media literacy is a lot more important than math B and learning certain shapes and degree of angles. Cody, I'll ask you, you were a music major, so you obviously didn't have the same education we had, but you're quite media literate and know what to believe and what not to believe. Do you think a class like that would be more important than a math B or an art, or do you think my bias from being a communication major is stepping in the way?
Well, I mean, I think you make a good point. I think that, you know, I would hate to see art classes and things like that get cut, because I know how much that type of stuff means to kids. Certainly there's kids who hate that shit, but I think a media literacy class would do nothing but benefit. I mean, we get exposed to television from as long, you know, as soon as we can see. And a lot of times before we even enter any sort of schooling, we've been watching TV already our entire lives. And if we're never taught how to interpret that or how to kind of distinguish, you know, what's, how to make sense of all of it, I think that can definitely be a problem and lead some people down a path that they might not want to go down. I think we could all agree that school would be better if there was more real-world learning involved, stuff that actually helps you in life. I mean, they teach you algebra, and they teach you about world history and things like that, and then they put you in the world, and you're supposed to know how to be an adult. But really, you haven't learned anything about life at this point. That's all the stuff that you do on your own, and you're socializing and growing up and meeting new people and things like that. You know, I always said through school, you know, I'm never going to use this. And everybody always reassured me, oh, no, you definitely will, you definitely will. Well, I've been out of high school now for 4 years, and 90% of that shit I don't use, and I don't remember it. So, honestly, there's certainly a lot of wasted time and a lot of wasted effort, and I think there's a lot of reform that could be done in the educational system, and maybe adding a media literacy class of some sort would be a good step towards that.
Well, before we get to Greg Dees, you talked about how you don't remember 90% of that, and you said, possibly suggest a media literacy course. Were there any courses looking back that you wish your high school would have taught you that you struggle in the real world, and like which 4 years ago you could have learned instead of having to find out the hard way in the real world?
I think one thing that would have been really great to have, and maybe there was some instance of this, but I never really got a taste of it, is really how to network with people and how to make connections with people, even if they're people that you don't necessarily have a lot in common with. Because you know, when you go to college, especially if you move away, and especially if you're getting into, like, the entertainment industry or really any industry, you know, people always say, and Ethan, I think I saw you tweeted something like this earlier, but people always say, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And, you know, that's so true. I think it is partly what you know, but who you know is very important. And I think teaching kids how to network and make connections and communicate with one another and kind of share ideas and things like that would have been really beneficial. And maybe there, like I said, maybe there is something like that that I never took, but that's something that comes to mind right away.
Well, to clarify, I had a buddy of mine who was bitching that he couldn't get a job. And he said, oh, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I said back to him, if it's not what you know and it's who you know, why aren't you getting out there meeting people? And that was my whole point, is if networking is that important, you need to learn how to network, which is exactly what you just hit on. Greg, you had an interesting path. You graduated from college 3 years ago, had a job. You were making actually some pretty good money, but you just decided you weren't happy doing it, wasn't for you. Came back for a year. I'm glad you did, because you had a hell of a time. Too many stories that maybe we'll share in the next 15 minutes or something like that. But is there anything in high school, I know this is 7 years ago, that you wish that they had taught that they didn't, or were you pretty much satisfied with everything?
I mean, I think I gained, you know, a lucky thing for me is that I had the opportunity in my high school to, instead of, you know, sticking with language or something like that, that I was able to take a business track, which I think helped me, kind of gave me a head start on a lot of the stuff that I then took in college. But I think the biggest thing is that much education is trying to teach kids, you know, what to think, and I think more of it should be focused on how to think. I think that's one of the great things. Some of the best teachers I had, both, you know, maybe in high school and definitely at the college level, were professors that really, you know, made you think for yourself. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with education today in general, is that too much of the time they're just, you know, spewing out information, expecting you to just take notes, throw it in a notebook, memorize it, and then, you know, just regurgitate it in a paper on a test, rather than actually thinking things out for yourself and, you know, trying to solve problems or to really figure out on your own, like, why things work. I think that's the biggest problem nowadays is, you know, people don't learn to think for themselves and, you know, really, you know, solve problems on their own. And I think those are skills that are going to be much more valuable in life than, you know, simply knowing some sort of information.
I completely agree with both of you guys. I think that was very insightful. Got about a half hour left. I'm going to hit on one more serious topic, and then it's time to let the dogs loose and get wild, tell some stories. I know in the brief time I've been with both of you guys have awesome stories to tell. But, Greg, you obviously got a job after you were out of college, and Cody, you are currently still at the job that you got out of college. And I'm in the process of interviewing. I had my first interview while I was in school. Had a phone one the other day, and then next week I'm going to do another one. And the interview process is a process that you can't really prepare for. other than practice? And one of the difficult questions they always ask me is, I can never have a perfect answer for it, is what is your weakness? So, Cody, let's say you're applying for my job, or I'm hiring you, and I say, what's your weakness? What's the best answer you can have? Or do you tell them there is no weakness?
I'll tell you what I would say. I would put a spin on it. I would present it as a weakness, but it's actually almost a strength, something that would make you look good to a company. I would say, the only thing I can think of as a weakness is that I'm never satisfied. It's never good enough. I never feel like I've reached my goal. I can never just be content with what I've done. You know, I have to do more. And it's almost like it's a weakness, but it's not. It's almost saying to them, you're never going to stop striving for them. And I think that's a good thing to do. Like, you don't want to say, I'm not good with people, or I'm not good with numbers, or something like that, because, I mean, that actually is a weakness, something that's not going to be beneficial to them in any way. So I think if you can find some way to think of something positive that you can present as a weakness, I think that's your best bet in that scenario.
The only thing I don't like, and not to pick on you, but I think sometimes people will say about a weakness, and it's almost like a canned answer, like I'm a perfectionist, and I just hate when things aren't perfect. And I kind of feel like saying, yeah, maybe that's a great quality, but at the same token, you seem a little fake there, and you're not really being truthful. But at the same token, you don't want to hurt yourself and say something absolutely crazy, like I'm an absolute racist, and I hate working with everyone, and I'm miserable and don't like to get up in the morning. Greg, you obviously had a job. You must have done something right. What was your answer for your weakness?
Typically, I'll tell them that in the past that I've had difficulty sometimes dealing with if things don't necessarily go the way I wanted, because, you know, I'm always striving to be the best. And sometimes, you know, I've taken, some of the smaller failures harder maybe than I should, but that I've kind of worked on taking things more in jest, and that I'm, you know, getting better at that now. I feel like putting, similar to what Cody said, though, is, something like that, you know, because you're a perfectionist, but that you're trying to work on taking things, you know, more in stride, and that, you know, something like that. I think one of the biggest things is whatever you say, emphasize that you've improved on a weakness, and that, you know, you're getting it to a point where it's no longer much of a weakness, that you've, you know, I think they want to see that you actually, you know, if you do have some weakness, like you said, I mean, don't say something ridiculous that'll really, you know, screw you out of having a chance at the job. But I think it's important that you can actually say that you have some sort of weakness, especially one that maybe could be played to some extent to a positive, but also that, you know, you're taking strides to actually fix that weakness or improve upon it. I think, you know, showing that initiative probably, and that you know yourself, I think that probably shows up pretty well.
You're exactly right, because what I always tell them is that I'm honest, and sometimes my honesty can come across as cruel, and I should probably sugarcoat things, because people can take it as that I'm just attacking them, where I'm trying to offer constructive criticism. But it's a process. There's really no right or wrong answers, and obviously if there was a right or wrong answer, you guys got it right, because you guys both got hired. But a couple weeks ago, we were talking about names of people and how people just got absolutely fucked over by what their parents named them. I told them about my one friend named Adam Cox, and we thought his middle name was like Joe or Jason or something like that. No, his middle name was Downs. It was his mom's maiden name, so his name was Adam Downs Cox. I thought that was absolutely awesome.
Brutal.
Well, I was with my buddies the other day at a bar, and we were talking about funny sports names, and we looked some up. And I thought these were absolutely awesome, and they were believable. They weren't, like, absolutely outrageous. First guy's name was Chubby Cox. He was a basketball player, played for the Philadelphia Kings. There was a guy for an outfielder for the Minnesota Twins. Name was Rusty Cunts.
Nice. Oof. Oof.
What were some other ones? There was a guy, his name was Willis Pussy, and they nicknamed him Cum. But that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
Matt Bonner plays for the Spurs, and his nickname's the Red Rocket. And all the announcers, I don't know if they're oblivious to it, because his last name's Bonner, and his teammates call him the Red Rocket, and he's got red hair. But they think they call him the Red Rocket because he shoots threes. And it's just funny that they're that oblivious to it, or they're just trying to do that for the national audience.
Yeah, I think they're facetious. I think they know what it really means.
Yeah, I feel like they just can't put that out there.
No. There was a volleyball player for Japan in the Olympics. Name was Yoshi Takeshita. Baseball player for the Scranton Wilkes Red Barons, Steve Schartz.
Nice. That's my favorite one.
That's pretty good.
Dick Butkus, that's always a classic.
Oh, yeah.
There was another guy, halfback for the Patriots, Dick Felt. I don't even want to read this one to you guys, because I'm going to get ripped on forever. But there was a baseball player back in the 90s. His name was Ethan, named after Ethan Hawke. Full name, Ethan Faggot.
Oh, God. Wow. Why?
Really?
Really, I was not hoping to come across that one, but ended up doing it regardless.
I always thought someone was going to butcher that guy on the Cubs there, Fukudome. I thought his name, someone was going to screw that one up on live television. I was just waiting for it. I don't know if it ever happened, but, I mean, looking at the way it was spelled, I think I was taking chances there that someone was going to screw that up.
Speaking of screwed up, I feel like these are just so convenient for some of the butch female athletes. A player from Yugoslavia played in the WNBA. Her name was Ivana Mandic.
it sounds like it was written that way. They almost changed it so it'd be funny because of what she does.
Yeah, and true story. Her sister's name was Anita.
Oh, man. Double trouble.
You can't make that up.
Maybe they just never planned on coming to the U.S., but, I mean, once they came here, that's killer.
Well, there's probably another entendre there once they came here that you could make. But another thing you can't make up, Greg, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on this show is to talk about our good buddy, Mr. John Harris.
Oh, the legend, the voice.
The legend. This is a worst classmate we could ever have. We're in a mass media law class, myself and Greg. It was actually a pleasant surprise. I walked into class, and there's my roommate sitting down in the front row. And first day of class, we have to amend a certain law that involves the mass media. And, Greg, I'll let you take it from there.
Oh, well, he was kind of – Ethan, I think, made a kind of valid point that on television pretty much – you know, you can show the fattest, most, you know, disgusting-looking dude possible with his shirt off, and, you know, that's completely okay. I mean, people might not like seeing it, but it's completely okay. Whereas, you know, if you're going to show a topless female, that's just, you know, you can't do it. Ethan's point was simply that, you know, maybe we should not be showing all these topless, you know, overweight guys as well. You know, either let everyone be showing shirtless or, you know, no one. But obviously, that's never going to happen. But Ethan actually made a valid point with that. And then Mr. Harris decided
to...
Hold on.
Let me interrupt you when I told you to start talking. Well, the point was it was obscenity. And my thing was, what's more obscene? Seeing a 300-pound guy shirtless sweating his ass off, or seeing a beautiful Brazilian lady with her shirt off. And my whole point is it's far more obscene to see the fat guy. Greg, you can go back. Probably interrupt you in another minute or two, but keep going.
Exactly. And then John just, you know, Ethan makes his point. Actually sounds, you know, it comes out intelligently. And John, who's in a group, this is as we share it with the class, mind you, where, you know, there's at least a third of the class is female. And John decides to just say, no, we just want to see female boobs. Let's just see female boobs. Just keep saying this to a college classroom where, like I said, probably 30-40% of the class is female. So our entire group, meanwhile, looks absolutely terrible. I mean, we just look like the biggest group of, you know, pigs in the world. And, you know, Ethan's trying to, you know, dig his way out of this, try to clarify what he actually wanted to put out there for our obscenity discussion, but John he was not helping our cause there, and kind of just went off on his own, and trying to stop this kid from talking was damn near impossible. I mean, this kid would just get going, and he didn't care who he offended or annoyed. He would just keep talking because he loved the sound of his voice, and he thought it would just
rack up participation points. So it was brutal.
Well, that's the worst part, though. Like, even we're trying to sound humane, and the girl's like, you're just saying that because you're a man. I said, well, I mean, look at it this way. Do you girls get more offended when you see Jennifer Lopez shirtless or when you see Vince Wilfork shirtless, like, slapping his towel around? And they're like, oh, I guess you got a point. And then you got John, let's bring on the tits. Let's sell some titties on TV, right, guys? Come on, man. Like, you're totally shitting on their point. And it got so bad because he was a nice kid and he meant well, but he just would always want to talk. And the teacher would ask a question. No one raised their hand. You just see John, like, jumping out of his seat. And he'd be like, oh, no one? All right, I'll answer it for you. And then we were in a debate club. Like, there was two groups. There was my group and Greg's group. And Greg was stuck with John Harris. And Greg's group probably prepared for, like, 45 minutes on this, had a real good case. And our group, because John was notorious for arguing one side and then someone saying, well, I disagree, and then him arguing the exact other side because he didn't want to disappoint anyone. So our group meeting was, let's just feed John the rock and see what he does. And sure enough, John went away with it and made a pretty good case for us before he was cut off by his own group members.
It was bad. Let me tell you, the group meetings with him were a trip also. I mean, listening to this kid just talk and tell ridiculous stories was just, he'd show up and then he'd, like, call us out for not talking more in class. He's like, why am I the only one to talk in class? And we didn't really know how to, like, answer it, and we had to, like, speak like we didn't think he was annoying. And then, you know, just the stories he would tell about how he'd just go home and polish off a bottle of whiskey and then go to the gym, like, this kid was something else. I'll tell you that much.
Cody, before I give you the mic and let you entertain the audience, I do have one more John Harris story, which is absolutely awesome. I don't know how we got on the topic. I think we were talking about, like, defending your friends in self-defense. And he's telling the story how he's with one of his friends, and these guys come in the car and pull him out of the car and stop jumping him. And he's just telling, like, how brutal his friends getting kicked the shit out of him. And someone pauses, like, wait. So three guys were jumping your friend, and he just stood there and watched. And John was like, well, come to think of it, I guess he really wasn't that good of a friend. And it was he's like, I didn't even really know the kid that well. Completely flipped the story because he caught himself realizing that his friend was getting jumped, and he was doing nothing about it.
And I also believe one of his answers, too, was, well, you know, we didn't really know what he did, so we thought, you know, maybe he was, you know, talking shit or something. Maybe he deserved it, which sounds like he pretty much was the worst friend in the world as far as helping his buddy out. It was one of the most ridiculous stories I think I've ever heard, and I think the whole class just kind of looked at him like, what the hell kind of friend are you? Like, I don't know. This kid is, he was one of a kind. I feel blessed, though, that I had the opportunity to have a class with him just because I'm going to have stories about that kid probably for the rest of my life. He's one of those kids I probably will never forget having a class with, but I'm glad I only had the one.
Yeah, two might have been a little ridiculous. Deesh, you've been in a classroom. It's been like 2 years since you've been in one, but you're always a pretty studious guy, even if you really didn't give a shit or not. Your intelligence overcame that. Was there ever, not a particular person, but maybe an archetype or someone just absolutely drove you nuts in the classroom, or were you just pretty cool with whoever was in the room?
I was always pretty cool with everyone. There were definitely people that fucking drove me nuts, like people that would, like, ask question upon question upon question, or people that would always, like, sit up front, like, teacher's pet type deal, like, thinking that they were going to get ahead in the industry somehow, because we would always have teachers that had, like, real-world experience, you know, like, people who worked on, like, big projects and big albums and stuff like that, and they would just try sucking up to them so bad. But my favorite kid from Full Sail that when I went to college, it had nothing to do with me being annoyed or anything like that. We had a group project, and basically we all had certain duties that we had to take care of. What we were going to be doing was scoring a film trailer, basically providing the music and sound effects for a film trailer. Like, you rip all the sound off of it and you replace everything yourself. You have to record everything, compose the music, all that type of shit. So everybody gets certain responsibilities that they have to do. So it's on the first day, and this kid, right off the bat, he's just like, all right, y'all, I'm going to let y'all know I ain't going to do nothing because I'm about to fail, so I ain't going to do shit, so y'all might as well just take my workload. And we're just like, shit, that's awesome. Like, this dude was up front, because usually you got that kid in the group who doesn't do anything, But he doesn't tell you right off the bat. So you don't know to cover his tracks. You know what I mean? So he gave us a heads up. So immediately I respected him. But the best was when we had lab, which basically meant you go into this building and there's a separate room for each person. There's a console, there's speakers, there's a giant screen. Everybody has their own room, and, you know, the door shuts behind you. Everything's really dark because it's all electronic equipment. Everything's really cold because it's electronics. This kid comes to school. You know, we all got our MacBooks, you know, our backpacks, pens, pencils, things like that. Dude comes in with a sleeping bag and a pillow, goes into his lab room, and just passes out for 4 hours straight. Like, literally took an entire zero for the class. And you could, the funniest thing was you could go in the hall and, like, look through the little window and see everybody plugging away on their project. You go by his window, all the electronics are off, all the TV's off, the speakers are off. He just passed out on the floor with his sleeping bag, dude. I'll never forget that. It was fucking awesome.
I got to ask you a question then. You guys have obviously been in groups. And when you have someone lazy shit like that, they're never upfront about it. They're pretty tough to pick out. But what's worse with you guys, the person who doesn't pull their weight whatsoever and is just a pain in the ass and you have to end up doing extra work for, or the group member who is really anal and constantly emailing and texting, guys, we need to get on this, guys, we need to get on this, you need to do this, you need to do that, I want this done a week before it's due. Geese, I'll let you start off with that one because obviously you've been in the group before.
Oh, yeah, I had so many group projects at Full Sail. That was, like, every month we had one. But I think that each person is necessary to the group. And although they're both annoying, it just really proves that a perfect society where everybody's equal cannot exist. There's always going to be people who want to do less, and there's always going to be people who want to do more. And there's always going to be people in the middle who will do, like, the bare minimum to get by. And, you know, for everything that one guy doesn't do and completely slacks off, that other really anal person will usually make up for it and create that equilibrium. So I guess I'm more annoyed by the anal person, even though sometimes that has been me in the past, just because I'm not going to let some retard make me fail the class. But, you know, I think they're both necessary, and no matter how many groups you make, you can take 100 people and split them up every different way, group of five, group of three, every combination. It's always going to work out that way. There's always going to be someone who does more, there's always going to be someone who does less, and then generally speaking, the rest of the people will pretty much do the same amount. And of all the group projects I've done, which is at least 15 to 20 in college, it pretty much always worked out that way, no matter what.
It's a scientific theory. I think it's called social loafing. What happens is when you're in a group project, let's say you're there for an hour, probably 20% of that time you guys are going to spend just horsing around and talking to each other, so the production is not quite the same. But, I mean, if you're in your room studying, TV off, and computer only on to do work, I mean, that's 60 minutes of study. I don't think 20 minutes of it you're going to be goofing around, talking shit to yourself, and having a grand old time. Which is part of the problem. I don't like groups at always because in the beginning it's kind of difficult to feel everyone out. And I know I've had many roles. I mean, this semester I had to be the leader of the one group and had to be the anal guy. There's other times that I was kind of the jackass who was holding people down because I realized that I could get away with it because I was with intelligent, hardworking people. Deez, I kind of get the feeling that you probably lean more towards the anal guy because you're really not lazy and don't like to slough off. But I'm sure you lean towards a little bit towards the middle more than the complete anal guy. And would I be right in that assessment, or give me a feel out for where exactly you stand?
Yeah, typically I don't want to be like the main leader guy. I'll kind of be like the assistant to him because I don't want my peers to see me as the dick who's like bossing everybody around, but I'll kind of be on top of my own shit and be on top of everybody else. I mean, I always contribute. I've never been the dead weight in a group because I just – like, I don't want to fail, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not even worried about everybody else. I don't care about them failing. I personally never wanted to fail, so I always held up my end of the bargain. And I would say, generally, I'm usually not the super anal guy. Maybe that was more towards, like, middle school. But as I got older and lazier and, you know, more understanding of what I could get away with, I kind of definitely fell into the kind of the middle, maybe upper middle class.
Okay, so let's say one being the laziest shit alive, like the guy you described earlier, 10 being super anal, can't sleep until it's done. Where do you fall?
I put myself around like a 7.5.
Okay, so you're right in the middle between median and the hardest working person in the group. Greg, I know you voiced my frustration or your frustrations to me about having a very lackluster group and you having to carry the weight. Is that always the case, or is this just one of these rare times where I happen to be around you?
Well, I think generally, I'm with you on the fact that I typically hate the idea of group meetings because I think they're, for the most part, pointless. I think the best thing is if you guys can, after class, sit down, you know, just take 5 minutes, talk, split up work, you do this, and then do it on your own, bring it together, have, you know, just the bare minimum of the meetings that you absolutely have to have, because I find generally it's a waste of, I found it to be a waste of time, where you'd sit there for 2 hours, and I think about how much more productive I could have been if I wasn't in that meeting. But, no, generally, I mean, I've been in groups, my whole thing is I've never been, I don't think, terribly, you know, anal with my group about, oh, well, we have to meet, we have to get this done, blah, blah, blah. I think typically I've pulled my own, you know, I've never slacked off and been the one that, you know, puts in the minimum amount of work. You know, I always carry my own weight. You know, I remember one group project a few years ago where, you know, it was a summer course, summer night class, so I had a couple of women in my group who were, you know, probably like around 40, and the one was just really anal about, oh, well, we need to meet after class, we have to meet this weekend and stuff, and, you know, I had to say at some point, you know, I probably looked almost like the slacker at first, except I got all my work done and done well. I just didn't want to meet because, like I said, I felt like it was a waste of time, and I think that if people just do their work, it'll work out just fine. You can get your grade. But as far as the group you were talking about, my problem with this group was, and I think it almost falls into a totally, almost a different category than the slacker or the overly anal. There's the person that does their work, but their work just sucks. And there was my problem with this group, and I don't think they're any of your listeners, so I guess I won't worry too much about offending them, but they did the work, but the work they submitted to me was just not good. Like, they just could not write well. It was terrible. So it was, like, a completely different kind of problem there because, yeah, they did their work, but I felt like I then had to go in and, you know, fix it up, make it sound better, fix all sorts of grammatical errors. It was just – that was, like, a totally new experience for me because I hadn't had that before. And I knew, given, you know, who that professor was, and, you know, I mean, we had a wall with him. He was not exactly going to be, you know, his biggest thing was he graded tough on your writing. He was going to, you know, rip you apart if you turn something in with all sorts of errors in it. And that was my biggest thing. So I didn't know how to cross that. You know, pretty much I ended up doing all the extra work, not because they didn't do their work in the first place, but just because I lacked confidence that they were going to be able to really turn anything in that would have gotten us a decent grade.
My thing's always been, I'm probably going to be working with these people for 3 or 4 weeks, so let's get done without the least problems possible. So I'll probably go with the flow. Maybe I'll go to a group meeting that I think we probably shouldn't go to. But I do have a cutoff point, and my cutoff point was when a guy wanted to meet at 7 a.m. for 10:30 class to practice our PowerPoint. And I said, look, man, you're a nice kid, but there's no fucking way I'm waking up at 6:30 to meet you at the library at 7 so you can practice a PowerPoint when all we're going to be doing is reading it off. And he just, dude, it's essential to our grade. And it turns out it wasn't essential to our grade because we got 100 just for reading the PowerPoint. And that really turned me off.
Well, I think that's one of the biggest things. Is I think so many, I found, you know, not too many, but there's definitely a lot of people, I think, just psych themselves out about presenting. Like, it's really, once you have the information, if you know the stuff and you've got the presentation put together, I mean, some people fight it. They make it into something that's not. I mean, pretty much at that point, you go in there, it's talking. You go in there, you talk about everything that you researched, the presentation that you put together. You just go there and you talk about it for the class, and that's pretty much it. You know, I think people make too big a deal over trying to practice for the presentation. Just go in there, be confident. You know the stuff. Just go in there and do it.
Right. You don't want to sound robotic. But one of your projects was to recreate a television show that existed in the past or a movie and make it into a television series now, and you guys chose Matilda, which I shouldn't say you guys because I know you weren't a big Matilda fan, but my question to you, Cody, if you have to make a television show into a television show now or a movie into a movie now, or you get my point, something that you grew up in a childhood, like Rugrats or something like that, what show do you make? I know Boy Meets World is doing a Girl Meets World. So I'm talking that kind of thing. What do you do?
Well, I think the main thing I would do, not only from as being a fan, but also in terms of making money, I would absolutely love to relaunch Seinfeld. The only issue with that, and I think it's going to be the same thing that comes up with Boy Meets World or any time that they remake a movie, you have to, once these shows are off the air for so long, they build up an even bigger fan base and an even bigger aura and mystique to them from being off the air. They kind of get this sort of hipster crowd that absolutely loves it. It's like a cult following. And when that happens, to try and bring the series back and not only match the original, but also please all of the new fans who love the original and bought the DVD box set, it's almost impossible. So as much as I would love to see a relaunch of Seinfeld or of any show like that that I like, I'm always weary towards things like that because I don't want to taint the legacy that the original has in my eyes.
Oh, and Seinfeld is making bank off their syndication rights. It's unreal.
Oh yeah.
But Greg, I believe you told me earlier that I said, "What are you doing tonight?" You said watching Seinfeld. So obviously, you agree with Cody on that one. Are there any other shows of the past that you would wish they'd come back with, or maybe a movie that they turn into a TV series, or the opposite?
I mean, I agree with Cody on the fact that, you know, so many of the shows, the movies that are so great, it's, you know, you want to see them make it and bring it back if you enjoyed it so much, but at the same time, you know, there's that risk that you're running that, you know, if it really doesn't match up, you don't want to taint the legacy that it has. I mean, Seinfeld, I would have loved to have seen them. You know, I know that there was a big offer out there to Jerry Seinfeld to, you know, continue it for a 10th season, and he turned it down. And in a lot of ways, you know, I wish that they had kept going or that they'd bring it back. But at the same time, you know, it's just, you know, maybe he got out. Maybe it's better to get out when they still want more than to keep going and almost, you know, kill it. Because me, I'm a big fan of Entourage. And, you know, I'm going to go watch movies. I'm going to be excited for the movies. But the last couple seasons kind of let me down a little bit. I don't think that they lived up to, you know, say the first five. I don't think, you know, or the first six seasons I thought were great. The last two I thought were a little bit weaker. So I think that's kind of the risk that you run. And if you bring a show back, you know, I don't know. I just always worry that it's not going to live up to the earlier seasons and that you're going to taint the legacy.
Dude, it's like Michael Jordan had the greatest legacy to ever end. Hit the game-winning shot in Game 6 of the Finals, went out as a champion, comes back for the Wizards 2 years, does okay, but doesn't even make the playoffs. Now he got those 2 years on his resume that are just screwing it all up. One of the shows I was always going to talk about, and they ended up doing it, was Arrested Development. It was big, I think, like 2003 to 2005 or 2006.
Oh, yeah.
It was on Fox. I shouldn't say it was big. It had a nice little cult following. Nothing mainstream or else it would have been on for a couple more seasons. Fourth season just came back on Netflix. Been absolutely addicted to it. It's great stuff. Greg, I can tell by your, you like it. D's, you watching any Arrested Development?
I haven't watched it, but everybody's told me I got to watch it. I've seen a few episodes. My old roommate Mike used to try and make me watch it. I'm sure I would love it. It's just a matter of time before I end up checking it out.
Well, the one show I'd bring back, I was going to say Even Stevens, but that's got to be next to impossible now because Shia LaBeouf's star has gotten so much bigger than when he was just Lewis from Even Stevens. So the one show I want to bring back, which might be a little difficult, I have to do a little recasting because of the age, is Cheers. These, you probably don't, unless you watch it on Netflix, it was obviously before our time, it was big in the 70s and 80s. That's one show I love. Ted Danson was in it. Woody Harrelson was in it. Just an all-time classic. It's still a lot of the punchlines I watch and still laugh at it 25 years later.
Shit, I'll tell you what, dude. Just go down to Lock 34 with a video camera and you'll have a modern-day Cheers.
Well, you would think that, but whenever I go to that bar, you can't hear a damn thing. I am sitting 2 feet from my buddy and I have to scream to him. And I think that's why we both share the same view. Why should I go to a bar and pay $3 for a drink when I can sit in a buddy's living room and pay $10 for a 12-back and watch a game and fuck around with them the whole time opposed to sitting in a bar. We got a minute 30 left. Greg, any last words before we head off? I want to thank you for joining the show, as always.
Oh, no, thanks for having me on, man. I'll have to come back on here and do this again. It was fun.
We would certainly love nothing more than that. D's, got about 50 seconds if you want to 30 seconds of airtime. Do any closing thoughts? Always a pleasure to hear what you have to say.
Sure. I just want to say, Greg, it was a pleasure doing the show with you. Nice to meet you.
Oh, likewise.
I also want to apologize for some unprofessional moments that I had tonight. I was kind of in a bind. My phone died. I'm on my dad's phone, and we're on the boonies. But I made it work. You know, I was on the show. It was good. I'm looking forward to next week. I'm always down for some title pending. So, shit, we'll talk to you in 7 days, right?
All right. Well, I appreciate both you guys joining the show. Mr. Hankins wasn't able to join us tonight. Hopefully he'll be back next week. And, you know, he's a busy man. I'm always very appreciative that he helps produce the show. Big Ben and Maggie had other obligations, and I, of course, would rather have them take that and come back title pending for an episode. But they'll be back next week, hopefully. And as always, everyone have a great Wednesday. We'll be back for you next Wednesday. If anyone wants to join the show or any show topics, feel free to hit me up. I want to thank Mr. Jordan Hogan for keeping some conversation alive about the show on Twitter. Everyone take care and have a good night.